afternoon. I think that one was there. I had two. This one was the afternoon one, I think. We know, yes. She's just given a key word there. So I was out on my paper run, and I was busting. I mean, if that phrase doesn't communicate something, it means I needed to go to the toilet. But I was on my paper run, and I was busting. I was getting worse and worse and worse. And I was going up the hill, and then I saw a church. I thought, oh, sanctuary. Went and knocked on the door. It was locked. So I went around the side to the manse. Hi, my dad's the Baptist pastor, and he said if I need to use your toilet, I can. It wasn't the Baptist church that I was at. I was desperate, and I don't know why I said that. I felt that maybe I had to have some right or some ability to enter into this place. And so I drew upon the most authoritative voice that I knew, which was my dad. Things we've done that we're embarrassed by. We look back through church history, we can find some things like that. Some of you may be aware that every second Sunday of the night we gather in the green room out the back there, and we're exploring what are the different tools that God has given us to know who He is, to discern what is true and what is not. And one of those tools that we looked at was church history. Knowledge handed down, passed from generation to generation. A really simple example of this is the Trinity. The word Trinity you will not find in the Bible. It's not there. But throughout Scripture we see clearly that the Trinity is God. And so through church tradition we have had this unpacking, this ongoing revelation of who God is. And this has been passed down through the years. When we look back through this church history, we saw some amazing things that the church has done. I mean, I'll pluck a number because I think it's about right. Statistics, and lies, I think they fit together. But round about 90% of all universities in Western settings have been founded by the church. It's incredible. The majority of universities around the world have come through the church. The church or individuals from the church valuing the ability to reason and to explore and understand has come as a gift out of the church. What an incredible church history that we have. That's part of our story. Sadly, not all our stories are good. There's some things that are highly embarrassing. If I said the word crusade, for some, it might be incredibly powerful. For my dad, perhaps, given that the Jesus Crusades that went around New Zealand were, I think, instrumental in you guys coming to faith. But there were other crusades that went into nations and sought to force Christianity onto others. In direct conflict with the gospel itself. That's your history. If you love Jesus, that is part of your history. And we feel ashamed. And should. In our New Zealand history, there are moments in our time that we can truly hold our heads up. We did good, the New Zealand church. The treaty here before you today is an example of that. It came about in no small part from the hard work of the church who lobbied in the UK for an agreement to be made. Sadly, as God's people has done throughout history, we walked away from that which we were supposed to uphold. Abdicated our role in seeing that the treaty should be honored. So what is a biblical response to the call of Māori to honour the treaty? Well, there's lots of scriptures that can speak into this. To the left, your right, of this copy of the treaty, there is a document, a statement that we have formed as a church over the last 3 or 4 weeks for those that wanted to speak into that. We've made it available for you. I hope that, and some of you have fed back into our process of seeking to have a statement that affirms why we would have this treaty as part of our story here at Manurewa Baptist Church. At the bottom of that statement is a series of passages from the scriptures that can speak into it. And so I just want to look at some of those. First is covenantal theology. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you have the Adamic, which means Adam, covenant of works. This is going to sound really, but stay with me. Genesis 3 has the post-Adamic, proto-evangelism, the first revelation of the kingdom of God. If you can follow that, you're doing really well. Genesis 9, on the Noahic covenant. Genesis 17, on the Abrahamic covenant. Exodus 20, on the Mosaic covenant. 2 Samuel 7, on the Davidic covenant. Jeremiah 31, on the New Covenant. And then Paul writes to the church of Galatia, and in chapter 3 and 4 of the book, in the book of Galatians, we find the whole theology of covenantal theology clearly laid out, of the covenant made by God for us. We could and should have this theology shape our understanding of the treaty. We could allow justice theology. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Justice demands that as the people of God, we honor the treaty. Effectively, we, the Church of New Zealand, acted as midwives for the birth of this nation. The Church advocated for Māori in the UK to form the treaty. We were direct agents and have a responsibility. You have the crown, you have Māori. And we, the church, were significantly involved in the shaping of that. At the signing, the original signing, there were about 50 chiefs that signed that document. And then local representatives and representatives of the crown. And then the missionaries of this nation went round and gathered a further 450. They went around the country in partnership with Māori and said, we believe this is a document that can bring us together as a people. This document is a unifying document. It's a document that brings people together. This is the gospel in action. And we, the church, had a principal role in that. And then we walked away. Unity theology, Colossians 3:11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, something else, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Again, in Galatians chapter 3, there is no Greek, no Gentile, all are one in Christ. Well, that sounds simple. We're all one in Christ. So let's all stop being European or Chinese or Māori. Is that what Paul is saying? No, I don't think he is. This one is the same one that is formed out of the union of marriage. In marriage, we become one. Yet in doing so, we don't cease to be ourselves. This is why last week I stated that as a Christian Māori, they should be more Māori than a non-Christian Māori. You see, in marriage, Rachel does not cease to be Rachel. My role as a husband is to empower her to be all that God has created Rachel to be. In becoming one, we don't cease to be ourselves. Rather, in part, we take on the attributes of each other. We are changed by being in relationship. I become more than what I was, not less. Lyndon is not replaced by Rachel. Lyndon is enhanced by Rachel. So as brothers and sisters in Christ, we come into the fullness of who God has called us to be, resulting in a wonderful vision that Peter saw of every tribe and every nation being present in heaven, not some collapsed collection of people, but unified in our diversity, praising God in our different languages. A haka of praise, a waiata of wonder. Another lens, reconciliation theology. 2 Corinthians 5:11, 21. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to you and your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what they have seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. He died for us. Reconciliation. What might that look like as we seek to die for each other? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Clearly, there is much to be discussed and explored and appropriately brought to bear on us as a church standing beside the treaty. However, I find that when I get into stuff like this, it's great to go back to the basics. And wouldn't you know it, we've been doing a series from the book of Matthew. And Matthew takes the words of Christ, Christianity 101, keep it simple, stupid. Matthew 22, the greatest command. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." All the law hang on these two commands. This passage comes out of a response to a specialist of the law, a lawyer versed in what the law said, what one could do, what one must do, what one could and should not do. For some reason, we love rules. This treaty is a good example. When we seek to understand it as Europeans, those of us who are Europeans, we immediately go to the letter of the law. Initially, this was not Māori's first response. When the treaty in practice was set aside, initially they sought to sit down with the crown and through relationship seek redress. One prominent Māori Christian went to England and sat for days outside the government buildings seeking an audience to no avail. It was only after decades of waiting that they finally went to the courts for justice. I've already laid out how we as Christians should honor the treaty according to the laws of spirit, the spirit of justice, the spirit of covenant, the spirit of unification. But like Christ, all these laws hang on the pillars of the greatest law. Do we love God? And do we love each other? Do you really love God with all your heart? If you went home today and your family said, "We're no longer going to pray in this house," what would you do? Do you love Jesus more than your family? Are you more interested in the relationship around you than in loving Jesus? What would you say? What would God say when you stand before him? Well, the scripture tells us. He says, "Get away from me. I never knew you. You only went to church because you had a place of influence there. You only went to church because you found friendship with other people there. I didn't know you." Do you love God? Ahead of everything else, do you love God? My relationship with God must be my own. Mum and Dad, I'm stoked that they're here today. I'm stoked that you brought me to the foot of your bed and told me about Jesus, and I invited Jesus into my heart as a really little child. But God doesn't have grandchildren. You are not a grandchild of God. You are a child of God. I'm not saved because my mum and dad are saved. It's not their relationship with Jesus that saves me. So too for my children. They must know God for themselves. For me. For me, I love God. And that is a gift that he has given me. We cry out for our children. We cry out for our parents, that they too will have that relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I'm in love with God because of what he's done for me. Are you in love with God? Second command. Do you love people? Let me break this down really, really simply. When you came in here this morning, were you thinking about yourself? Or were you thinking about your brothers and sisters here? Were you thinking about your neighbor back home who's not coming to church? Or were you just thinking about you, you and Jesus? Oh, that's so nice. Our love for God and his love for us moves us to love others. As you sit here now, who is it that's on your heart? Who would you want to lift up to God and say, "God, use me. Use me. Just as you have sent your son and done everything for me, I know you've done that for them. God, would you use me to share that story with them?" Or is my relationship with them too precious to risk? Do I not want to offend? What's greater, our love for God and our love for them in the context of eternity, or our ability to go next door and watch a rugby game with them? There's nothing wrong watching a game of rugby with your neighbor. I encourage you to do it. But our goal is not relationship. Our goal is to share the goodness of God with them so that they too may know the fullness of Jesus' love. These are the basics. Love God, love your neighbor. This past week, I had an incredible week with guys that I journeyed for 3 years as we sought to prepare for ministry. We had a huge amount of information downloaded on us. We had the privilege of Richard Black speak to us for 3 days. Fabulous. We had the privilege of hearing stories from pastors who have been in ministry for 30, 40 years. Wonderful. Best part? Being with people that I love. As we talked about our different contexts, the challenges of where we are, the privileges of where we are. We prayed for each other. We laid hands on each other. And we blessed each other. And for our families. I want to be so in love with Jesus that when people encounter me, they encounter God's love. Sadly, so many times I get focused on tasks that in that moment, His love is not emanating from me. This love doesn't just happen. You can't muster up that kind of love. It has to come from God Himself, and you've got to stay plugged into God. Any love that you've encountered from me doesn't come from myself. Real love all comes from Him. I don't have that kind of love in me. I'm so broken. I need God to daily transform me. I know how much I need God. And when I know that, I become aware just how much God loves me. It's this awareness of God's love for me that unlocks my love for Him and then in turn for others. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, God's love caused Him to act towards us with mercy. Love is an attribute of God's nature, and that is why He relates to us with mercy. In the same way as God's nature is also truth, and He is therefore faithful to us. The Bible says God is love. It's because of God's love that we experience His nature of mercy and faithfulness and truthfulness. God's love is not just an abstract principle. It is observable in the human course of events by His intervention in our history to seek and save that which has been lost. He owed us nothing, but gave us everything. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. For me. That you, through His poverty, might become rich. He's become our Savior and example. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. God loves us so very much and quite simply desires what is absolutely the best for each of us. Will we do this for each other? It's that love for God that has brought us as an eldership to propose to you that we bring this treaty into our worship space. This is not tokenism. It's an act of love. Love from those of us as Pākehā for our Māori brothers and sisters, saying, we have not forgotten our promise to you. And a statement of love from our Māori and Pākehā alike, to anyone who walks in our doors, that in spite of our brokenness, that with the power of God's love within us, we, Manurewa Baptist, will honour the promises we, the church, have made. So are you in love with God? And are you in love with each other? I don't know what policies you're allowing to influence your vote this week as you cast your vote. There are so many factors that we as God's people should consider as ambassadors of God. I pray that honoring the treaty would be a significant influence of your decision-making process. As believers, we are called to be promise keepers. That is why God's command is spoken through the mouth of Amos, which I read to you before. But all of this is informed by the greatest commandment. That which led Christ to sacrifice himself. That which leads us to sacrifice ourselves. In a moment, I'll be asking our Māori brothers and sisters to lead us in a time of remembering. Remembering the one who makes reconciliation possible. And I've asked that the kids join us. So Rachel, if you could tee that up, that'd be great. Thank you. The passage that Jesus quotes about loving God originally comes from Deuteronomy 6:15. Write them on your door post. Tell them to your children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Remember. This is why we invite our children in. While the kids come in, I would like us to listen to a song that calls out welcome. Welcome home. It's a Dave Dobbin song. You'll know it, I'm sure. It's an invitation to come on in. This is a call from Christ to each and every one of us, to come home to Him. Let's listen and allow these words of love to speak to our spirit. And then I will ask Vince to lead us to the table of Christ.
Rawa kore mai koe ki konei Ka toro te ringa ki tō ka Nau mai rā Ki te papa, papa ti pō Nau mai rā Te karanga te ngā kau Te pari, toro kau iho te ao Kua ruha I te pakanga, rapua he ara ho Nau mai rā, tene ra toka inga Nau mai rā Te karanga te ngā kau Nau mai rā Te karanga te ngā kau Haere tonu
Tēnā koutou, mā ngā whānau, ngā hoa hoki. Hello, family and friends. Ka muri ka muri is a Māori whakatauki, which is about looking into the past as we walk into the future. And so as Lyndon was talking about that knowledge handed down, his now. So too do we remember our journey, our relationship with Jesus, however that is, whether you don't know him today or whether you do know him, whether it was since you were a child or from last year. And we are in relationship with Jesus through these two commandments that Lyndon talked about. And at this table, by eating this bread and this juice, we are showing and reminding ourselves that he lives in us and we live in him. In unity. As Lyndon said, the relationship above everything else. So I'd ask today, I guess, that we would pay attention to our relationship with Jesus. What has it been for us? And what can we learn from our past as we go forward into the future? What can we remember today that will nurture and grow our relationship with Jesus as we go from here? Because it is Te Wiki o Te Reo, Māori Language Week, I am going to read from Matthew chapter 26 to 28, I think. In Māori. You're welcome to follow along in your Bibles, but because I'm not a pastor, I can tell you to put your Bibles down. It's okay for me to do that. No, please follow along in English if you'd like to. But I would like to encourage you to just listen and be present, and just see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you through this table here. Me inoe tātou. Let's pray. E te atua, whakepiri mai e te wairua tapu. Ki te whakaki i a mātou, tēnei hāhi, ngā iwi katoa hoki. Amene. I a rātou e kai ana, ka mau a ihu ki te taro. A ka mutu te whakapai, ka whawhati. Ka hua tū ki ngā akonga ka mea, tangohia, kaingia, ko tuku ti nāna tēnei. Nā ka mau, ia, ki te kapu, a ka mutu te whakawhetai, ka hoatu ki a rātou ka mea. Inumia te tahi wahi o tēnei e koutou katoa. Ko oku toto hoki enei. Ko o te kawanata hou. E whakahakia ana mo te tini, he muranga hara. I want to, we usually hand it around, but I would love to have, if you guys would like to come up, and maybe a couple more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people plus me, and so as a church whānau, if we will spread at the front to make it, and maybe here and here or something, just to make it nice and easy for you guys to come to somebody. But so as you all come, as you tangohia te taro me te wai, as you take the bread and the juice, I would love to ask us to just wait so we can kakai ka inu tahi, eat and drink together. So we'll do that now. So come when you please.
Fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars were made to worship so alive, I can see your heart in everything you make. Every burning star, signal, fire, grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I. So alive.
Te tinana o te karaiti. Pakuru mo koutou katoa. The body of Christ working for you. Te toto o te karaiti. I ringihia, mō koutou katoa. The blood of Christ poured out for you.
Vince, for leading us, and thank you for those that served. Bless you. I started my sermon with a call to remember our church history. In the years to come, what will be remembered and what will we be remembered for? Just like a door requires a doorpost to hang from, this treaty requires Christ to hang from. It is the love of Christ that calls us to honour God and honour each other. I invite those that I've arranged to come and take the treaty, and would like you to place it on our wall. Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Gail. God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. Jesus calls us together. We meet in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth. Lord Jesus, we belong to you. We thank you that in you we are family. We thank you for the example of what it is to sacrifice self for others. Lord Jesus, empower us by your Spirit so we can reflect your love to each other, to the world around us, and back to you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Bless your church family. I encourage you, don't race away. Go love each other. Bless you in the name of Jesus.